Good. Let's try that again. Is all that you are belong to Him?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray about that. Father, we love you. God, I just thank you for the grace and mercy that was brand new this morning. Father, some people in this room probably need to know that. They probably need to know that you've not forgotten them. That you ordained this day from the foundation of the world. So Holy Spirit, would you just come and move and do the things that only you can do in our hearts this morning? I need you. God, I need you this morning. I know all of us in reality need you. So just be gracious, kind and loving. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, it's been one of those kind of mornings for me. I don't know if you've had one of those kind of mornings. Well, you don't know what kind of morning I had, so you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But lots of distractions. But, you know, God knew about those distractions. He knew what would come in. And I just absolutely convinced He'll make provision for me, and He'll make provision for you as well. You know, He knows what's going on. Nothing catches Him off guard. You believe that? Amen. We're going to continue the sermon series, 40 Days of Convincing Proofs. Jeff started that 4 weeks ago. And the series is based out of the first chapter of Acts, where Jesus Christ spent 40 days on the earth, revealing himself to a number of people, up to 500 people at one time, God's Word says in 1 Corinthians 15, that he was alive. And so Jesus did that, and in our march towards Easter, which again started 4 weeks back, it's not really 40 days, it's 42 days. So I guess you can take a couple days off, I'm not sure about as far as trying to convince people that Jesus is alive through us. But that's been the challenge through this sermon series. The first week Jeff preached about as a convincing proof that we should love God. The second week as a convincing proof we should love our families. Had opportunities that week to reconcile things between family members. I hope you took advantage of that. Last week, Jordan preached a good word, my friend, on loving our enemies and loving strangers. And this week, we are going to, and the sermon title is, as his convincing proof, we are going to love randomly. Love randomly. Now, random is such a random word. Did you know that? I didn't know if you knew that. And I'm not quite sure when it became a part of my vocabulary. I think maybe probably in the mid-90s. My daughter was 12, 13 years old, just became a teenager. And she, you know, the things that seemed to not irritate her one day, the next day seemed to irritate her. I don't know how that quite worked out. But I would say something, I would do something. She said, "Dad, that's so random." And I thought, "What are you talking about? I have no idea what that means." And so I'm slow. For one thing, I'm slow. But I've brought that word into my vocabulary, and I use it quite a bit. Let me give you a definition of random. It is something that has no specific pattern to it. It follows no specific rule. It's more spontaneous in nature. It's off the cuff. Something maybe perhaps it's out of the blue, and it does not seem to quite fit with what's going on at the moment. I was on the internet this week studying for this lesson, and I found a couple of organizations, and I think they're secular organizations. One is called Random Acts of Kindness, where people actually go out into the community and they try to encourage people, you know, try to brighten somebody's day. And I pulled up a video off YouTube, and let's just watch it and see what they, who all they encountered in their community that particular day.
Sometimes a little nervous that people think I'm slightly crazy, but I think it's good. I mean, positive crazy, it's like crazy good. I'm gonna get this lady in the black because she looks like she's down. Hey, I really like your coat, you're looking good. Hey, how's it going today? Kindness is a high five. Nice pace, keep it going. Oh man, nothing. That would've been a sweet one. Beautiful. It's a spark of energy that you're transferring from yourself to another. And who doesn't want a high five? Hey, how are you? Let's go, double high fives today. Yeah, all right. There's just something about the high five action that makes people smile. Yes, it's kind of like saying, I got your back. I don't know you, but I'm with you.
Kindness to me means going out of your way to do something nice for somebody else. You can get into this zone where you're just focusing only on your studies and not on helping other people.
I was wondering if I could sing you guys a short song.
Definitely wasn't expecting someone to walk up and sing me a song.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
That's pretty awesome.
You make me happy when skies are gray.
I just had someone sing me, You Are My Sunshine.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
Actually, you become happier when you serve other people.
I was gifted some flowers and I'm paying them forward. There's this little like glint that happens in the eye. It's like half a second, and then you know like that's the person who's gonna receive it. I'm gonna give you a second one that you can give to someone else, anyone you want. And he immediately passed that on. There's always a ripple, I think, but when you see it, it's that much more gratifying. These guys are cool because you can just pick one off and then pass the other stem forward.
Eventually, I think the line between the giver and the receiver blurs to the point where you don't really know who's benefiting more. I get as much joy from offering you something as you get from receiving it.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Yay. 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 Hopefully we brought some joy to some people today.
Yeah, I'm not sure where these college students were from. That was kind of cool, wasn't it? Kind of cool. Brightened some people's day. I'm not sure where these college students are from. This organization, you just go out in the community and perform random acts of kindness, and you submit that video to this organization. I was thinking about, the lady that was singing the song, to just people randomly singing a song to people seated at a park bench. Some of us can get away with doing that stuff, and some of us probably can't get away with doing that stuff, if we all went out and did it, the videos would go two places, okay? It would either go to random acts of kindness or random acts of torture, one of the two, I'm not encouraging everybody to go out and sing, but did you see the redheaded lady? As she sang to her, she just didn't show a whole lot of emotion, but when the guy came back and interviewed her, boy, wasn't she blown away by that? And this is a secular organization, and I'm glad they're doing it, because maybe perhaps the church isn't out there doing it. And if secular organizations can do that, then we should be doing that, because that's the call of our lives. Now, they didn't go out to share the gospel. Not everybody's wired to share the gospel. I'm to be honest with you, I'm not wired in such a way that I can walk door to door and share my faith with somebody. Maybe I'm just not bold enough, and I spent a lot of years beating myself up over that. But I believe that God gives some the gift of evangelism, or sets people aside as evangelists, and either they do that vocationally or they just do that every day if they're working somewhere else. But every one of us are ambassadors for Christ. Every one of us. Every one of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us. Every one of us are the aroma or the fragrance of Christ. Everywhere we go, people should know either this person is saved. And people we encounter, God's word says that we are the smell of death. Not whew, man. You sure stunk that up, but we're the smell of death to those who are perishing, but we're the aroma or smell of life to those who have eternal life. So we should be able to go into a situation and just by our actions, just by our mere presence, by the things we say, by the way we conduct ourselves, people should know that we're believers in Christ. And this thought about them, us being the smell of death, I don't really know what goes on in the spiritual realm, but I believe that somehow the Holy Spirit's involved in that particular person. If they don't know Jesus, and we do, they should know that they don't need Jesus, and they need Jesus. I believe that's what that verse is actually refers to. And we should be the aroma of life. We should make a connection with other believers just because we're believers in Christ. So I believe that we should love randomly because Jesus himself love randomly. You think about Christ's ministry. Every day his ministry seemed to be filled with just random acts of healing, you know, things that were just out of the blue, you know, things that you didn't even anticipate. You know, people were just blown away by the things he said, by the things he did. He healed randomly. He healed blindness randomly. Sometimes he would speak healing in somebody's life and they'd be healed. Sometimes he laid hands on them and they'd be healed. Another time he took some dirt and he spit in the dirt and he made mud balls and put it in somebody's eyes. That's pretty random. Says, go wash in this pool and you will see. You just couldn't quite pin Jesus down. His ministry seemed to be just a random ministry from our perspective. But to be honest with you, it's a holy sovereign. It was a holy sovereign ministry, well thought out by Almighty God. Jesus did only what he saw his Father doing. He never did anything outside of God's will. So our perception that his ministry was random, but in all reality, it was, boy, it was sovereign, it was holy, it was righteous, it was right on, it was spot on. And Jesus loved, from our appearance, Jesus loved randomly, so therefore we should as well love randomly, which is the first point. If you want to take notes, now I put together a pretty impressive PowerPoint presentation this morning. I just wanted y'all to know that. And you'll see as we continue through the service that it's awesome. But I didn't do very good on your note sheet, so you guys got to fill in. You got to do your part there as well. But the first point is we should love randomly because Jesus loved randomly. So if we should love randomly, how do we do that? How should we love randomly? Second point, how should we love randomly? The first way is through encouragement. It's through encouragement. I'm going to read several scriptures, and let's see what God's Word says about that. Let's look at Hebrews 3:12 and the scriptures on the screen. How should we love randomly? Through encouragement. Hebrews 3:12 says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily." How often should we encourage each other? Daily. That's what God's Word says. "As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." What that verse says to me, that we have been given the green light through Scripture to encourage people, and particularly maybe perhaps people that are struggling. People who are seem to be turning away from God, seeming people it seems that their heart may be hardened because of sin's deceitfulness. We have the green light from Almighty God, from His Word, to go and encourage that person. And, you know, that's hard to do. That's hard to do because we don't want to offend anybody. But let me tell you, what's worse, that person getting offended by us speaking the truth into their life or them continuing to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness? We are called to encourage randomly through daily to keep people from being hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews 10:24. Let's look at that real quick. I love these two verses. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." I love that word, spur. Thinking about riding a horse or something. Let's get on with this thing. "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We're told not to give up, forsake meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And, you know, there's some people that belong to this church that's not here this morning, and I'm not taking a poll. I'm not going to tell Jeff, "Oh, Jeff, you don't know who skipped church because you were gone." I'm not doing that, but there's people that in this fellowship that we haven't seen for a while, perhaps. And God's Word says, don't forsake meeting together. And sometimes out in the public, we just have random encounters with those people. Have y'all been there? Have you done that? How awkward is that? We seem like we talk about everything but church. And why don't we just say, "Man, golly, we miss you guys. Y'all doing okay? We sure miss you guys at church." And if they're going somewhere else, God bless them. And at least they're in some kind of fellowship. But I believe, again, we have a green light to, as we meet people randomly, to encourage them to continue to be a part of the fellowship. So how should we love randomly? That's first point is through encouragement. Second point is through comfort, or through comforting. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Great scripture out of 2 Corinthians, first chapter. says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Have you been comforted by God? Anybody in here? In any situation? Through an illness? Through struggles? Through sin patterns that we finally repented of? And has anybody been comforted but me? Yeah, a lot of us have been. All of us probably have been. God comforts us so we'll be in right standing with Him so that we can walk in holiness. But He doesn't comfort us just for that reason. And He comforts us so at some point we can comfort somebody else. The last part of verse 5 says that through Christ our comfort should overflow. And some of the things that God allows us to go through, I guarantee He wants to use us to bring comfort to somebody else. Let me give you an example. I know several people in this fellowship that's lost a child, tragically lost children. You know, Carlene and I have not been through that. And, you know, how do I minister to somebody that's lost a child? What do I say? I know how you're feeling. No, I don't know how they're feeling. But I've seen God, for His glory, use people who have been through that. He connects them with people that are going through that. And when that person is going through that, says, "Man, I'm so mad at God. I'm so angry with God for taking my child away." And they can say, "I've been there. I know what that feels like. But let me tell you how God helped me walk through that." So the things we go through, when God comforts us, He wants us to pass that comfort on. And sometimes those are random encounters and random acts of love. The next way we can love randomly is through kindness. Through kindness. If high-fiving everybody you walk by works for you, God bless you, go do that. So that's just not my style. That's Carlene. If you see Carlene out at the mall, she'll be the one high-fiving everybody. I'll be the one that... Oh, no. So anyway. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." We're called to be kind and we're called to be compassionate to one another. And in our kindness and in our compassionate state, we need to forgive each other just as Christ has forgiven us. Kindness. If somebody's offended us, if somebody's wronged us, kindness is the answer for that. Not anger, not frustration. You know, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Y'all agree with that? It's not ours. Kindness and compassion is what we need to extend to those people. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Again, kindness. "We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." We don't pay back wrong for wrong. If somebody's done us wrong, we just need to extend kindness to those people that's done that. And all the scriptures up to this point are basically how we relate to one another as believers in Christ. But Paul says something in 1 Thessalonians, always be kind to each other and to everyone else. Everyone else. So kindness is another way that we love randomly. And the fourth way that we love randomly is doing good. It's doing good. Jesus did good. Y'all believe that? Matter of fact, Acts 10:38 says, "Jesus went around doing good and healing all of those who were under the power or the oppression of the enemy." So Jesus did good. We should do good. Let's look at Galatians 6:9. "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." I'm going to read that again. "Let us not become weary in doing good," which kind of tells me maybe perhaps we can wear ourselves out of doing good things. Don't become weary. We will reap a harvest at some point if we do not give up. God will at some point, maybe future, allow us to reap some kind of harvest. We don't need to look for rewards as we do good. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as these random opportunities come into our life, these random encounters with people come into our life, let us do good to not just the believers, but to all people. But, it says, especially to those who belong to the family of God. So we need to encourage each other. Okay? We need to extend kindness to each other. We need to do good things. We need to comfort each other, but not just inside this house. Not just to people we fellowship with, other believers that we fellowship with. We need to extend that as well to everybody, God's Word says. So who do we love randomly? Everyone. Everyone. Who do we love randomly? Everyone. When I was making preparation for the sermon 2 weeks ago, I was... since God had given me a challenge, had given me a task. And I really sensed that he wanted me to go through an entire week looking for opportunities to encourage somebody, looking for opportunities to help bring comfort in somebody's life, looking for opportunities to do something good for somebody, looking for opportunities to extend kindness. And God granted that this week. But as I felt he gave me that challenge, I kind of threw in a little nuance, hoping God would say, yeah, it's fine if you do that or don't do that. I really sensed I wanted to kind of be an observer for the week, not necessarily a participant, because I really didn't want to stand up here and say, well, Monday I did this, and boy, Tuesday I was awesome. You should have seen me Tuesday. And I really did shine on Wednesday, man. Golly, boy, you guys, you've really been proud of me. And I said, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to draw attention to myself. Just would you please allow me just to see what I've been missing, basically, and pray for those people. And God, if you really want me to get involved, God, I'll get involved. And so I'm just going to share with you just real quick my week. And this is a typical week for me. And it showed me, to be honest with you, what I've missed. Monday. Carly and I went walking at the mall. We're walkers. 5 months out of the year, we walk indoors. We're fair weather walkers, so we walk indoors 5 months out of the year. 7 months out of the year, we're at Redbud Park. And we're fixing to be, hallelujah, we're fixing to be freed up from the mall. I'm ready to get back outside. But I was walking at the mall Monday morning, and I saw this lady that I've seen her every winter for 3 years. And she just looks sad. I don't know what's going on with her, but she just kind of looks sad. There's no joy in her life. There's no smile. She doesn't really acknowledge anybody. And I don't really acknowledge her, but she just kind of looks sad. And then there's this other woman that she walks, and she's a little different. Well, she's a lot different, to be honest. We all walk counterclockwise. Well, she walks clockwise. She walks the other direction. And she carries her purse. I'm thinking, who in the world carries their purse at 7 o'clock in the morning? The shops aren't open. She's the only one that carries her purse, and she's just kind of different. And Monday morning I saw her, and she had a cane. Something had happened to her. I don't know if she had a stroke. I don't know if she had some kind of surgery, but she had a young lady there that was carrying her purse for her. And she was struggling to make, that little Dillard's area, that there's a little place of assembly, a bigger place, in that little Dillard's area, she was struggling to make a couple of laps right there. And I'm thinking, what's going on with her? She looked discouraged. Tuesday, back at the mall again, I saw the young man that I've seen every morning that sweeps. He goes the same direction this lady goes. Clockwise, we go counterclockwise, so therefore we're dodging each other. And he's got this 4 foot wide dust mop that he sweeps with. Young man, about 20 years old, and he just, I don't know, there's just an emptiness about him. And I don't know, well, anybody 20 years old has to get up at 6:45 to be at the mall to sweep. Maybe that's his issue, but he just seems to be I don't know what's going on with him. Wednesday, Jeff got a call from a from a lady that was absolutely desperate. Said, can you please visit with my husband? He's going through some things. And Jeff talked to me and said, Billy, are you busy at 2 o'clock on Wednesday? I said, I'm free, Jeff. And so the family comes in, and we sit there, and we visit with them for 2 hours. Random, just a random phone call, random occasion. This man gets saved, gloriously saved, wants to be baptized. And Jeff said, okay, let me go fill up the baptistry. And so Jeff comes and he fills the baptistry up. And the water's not very warm. It's kind of cold. This gentleman really wasn't prepared for that. Had his jeans and shirt on and whatnot. But Jeff and I baptized him and his wife and Carlene and Pat and Naomi sit here and witness that. It's a glorious thing. But how random was that? How random was that? What if Jeff would have said, you know, I'm kind of busy today. Don't know if I can fit that in my schedule. Thursday, I spent some time with Warren Roach's family. Warren was dying of cancer and passed away Friday. And had just chance to visit and maybe extend some comfort and some encouragement to people from all over. I mean, one lady spent divides time between Uzbekistan, somewhere over there, Kazakhstan, and Houston. You know, lady, a gentleman from Montana, people from Ohio, just random opportunities just to encourage people. Friday, I was at IHOP. I spent I eat breakfast with two men that helped me remain accountable. I'm accountable to them. And we eat breakfast every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and I saw again the young blonde waitress that looked a lot thinner than she probably should. And she smiled a lot. Of course, they tell them to do that as a waitress, but, you know, they say that God's Word doesn't say this, but they say that the eyes are the window to the soul. I just saw so much emptiness in her. Yesterday morning, we had an awesome crew over at the Carver House. Did a great job painting that house, and I realized once I got over there that I didn't have any water to keep them hydrated. I didn't want them to leave early on me, so I thought water is a good thing. So I go to the convenience store, North 13th and Treadaway, and I met this Caucasian clerk that was there in a predominantly African-American black neighborhood, and she looked very angry, very angry. And she probably encounters people every day in that neighborhood that gives her a really bad time. And God wouldn't let me keep my mouth shut yesterday. But I said, how's your day going? She said, it's good. It's good. And I, okay, it's good. I believe you. I believe you. Well, have a blessed day when I got through. You too. And just angry. Kind of wondering what that was about as well. And so as God showed me that this week, what have I been missing? A gentleman showed me Friday morning, one of the guys I meet with, he showed me a devotional that was posted 21 March, what day was that, Wednesday, Thursday, one of those 2 days, from Max Lucado. Based out of Galatians 6:10, it's called the kindness quotient. Let me read this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. What is your kindness quotient? He asks. When was the last time you did something kind for someone in your family? What about your school or your workplace? Who is the most overlooked or avoided? A shy student? A grumpy employee? Maybe he doesn't speak the language. Maybe she doesn't fit in. Are you kind to this person? Kind hearts are quietly kind. I love that. They let the car cut into traffic. Not me, brother. They let the young mom and 3 kids move up in the checkout line. Paul writes in Galatians 6:10, when we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. The neediest person you meet all week may be the one sitting behind you, in front of you, or beside you in the worship service. People are watching the way we act more than they're listening to what we say. Jordan, you guys, come on up. Praise team. Every week, Jeff has offered some kind of challenge to go along with the sermon, to go out and love in a particular way. And the challenge this week is to look for God to, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to look to God to give you opportunities to encourage somebody, to extend kindness to comfort to, or to do good something good for. But unlike all the other challenges that start after we leave this place, this challenge starts now. And what I really sense God wants to happen, and I know we've already had our greeting time, and we've gone around and we talked about stuff. How's your lawn doing this year? How's your grass? I got so many weeds that it's just driving me crazy. You know, boy, those lady bulldogs were awesome this year. And I'm not saying these are bad things to talk about. We've kind of got that out of the way, okay? This time is reserved for the Holy Spirit just to move in your heart. And if you know of somebody in this fellowship that needs to be encouraged, go encourage them. If you know somebody that's struggling, just go give them a hug. Pat them on the back. Say, I'm with you. I love you. Help bring comfort to that person. And I don't know what this is going to look like, but I believe that's really what I think what God wants to take place this morning. So the worship team is going to sing. We're going to worship until we're done. If you guys want to pray with me about anything, I'll be at the front. If you want to give your life to Christ, what an awesome day, a great day to do that. You're encouraged to come do that. So as they worship, you feel the freedom to move around. You feel the freedom to stand and worship. Just allow the Holy Spirit to have this time.
Are my king.
The challenge continues. The challenge continues. Let's allow God to use us this week to encourage, to extend kindness. Don't go singing to anybody at a park bench. Please don't. Unless you feel like you can really sing. Pardon me?
We're going to come sing at the mall when you're walking.
Okay. If I see you at the mall, if I ignore you, don't think anything about that. You guys have an awesome week. We serve an awesome God. Amen. That wants to bring healing and restoration to people's lives, and he wants to use us to do that. So let's allow him to do that this week. Can we do that? Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King,